Thank you very much for the kind introduction. My name is Till, as already said. I'm from TU Dresden, and I'm going to present eTeam, Practical Energy Accounting for Multi-Core System. Well, over the last couple of years, my colleagues and I recognized during our research that energy efficiency is actually becoming a major design goal or major differentiator for application and devices, not only in the mobile market, but also in data centers. One result of this is that accurate energy measurement techniques actually are necessary nowadays. Because, for example, you want to use them for energy-based billing, or you want to use them for energy profiling of your application to identify energy bugs in your application and to fix them. However, existing energy measurements that are currently available are not really suited for such use cases. For example, if you use external measurement methods, you will get very accurate power values or power energy values, but you're limited to the machine-level granularity, which basically makes application profiling impossible, and they are very expensive to deploy in a data center scale. So, for example, you can't use them for energy-based billing if you want to. On the other side, you can use inference-based estimation methods. And they're usually very adjustable in the granularity and the resolution that they can provide, in which they can provide the energy measurements. But since they are based on some power or energy models, they always require calibration on every system when you want to deploy them. And another downside of them is that they are not very accurate, so they usually have an error of about 8 to 10%. Fortunately, there is another technique that you can use, and that is called running average power limit. Running average power limit, which is more commonly used by its name, by its abbreviation REPL, is a technique or is a feature that was introduced by Intel into their processors in 2011. The aim of this feature is to limit the power consumption of the processor. To be able to do this, the processor internally estimates its energy consumption and exports this information to the operating system via some energy counters. And these energy counters are separate for each CPU socket that you have in the system. All in all, that means that REPL is actually a very interesting technique for online energy measurements as we require them for energy-based billing or per-application profiling. This is the case because they are widely available. They don't require any calibration. They don't require any external tools. They are very accurate. They have a high update frequency, and they are easy usable. Unfortunately, REPL also has some limitations. One of them is its spatial granularity. The problem is that REPL only reports energy counters or energy consumption for the whole socket. That means that we cannot measure the energy of individual parts of your CPU socket. That means if you have an application and you have only one application that is running on your system, you can actually use the REPL counters. The energy that they report is actually the energy that your application consumes. However, if you have multiple applications in your system that run in parallel on the same socket, the REPL counters are actually not really usable anymore because they only can show you or can give you the combined energy consumption of all the threads that are currently running on the socket. So you don't know anymore which part of the which application consumed how much energy. One way to circumvent this is to use some other third characteristic to proportionally account energy to the individual applications. Unfortunately, this does not work in every case. For example, we took two applications, a busy loop, which has a relatively low power draw, and an application called Firestarter, which has the aim to consume as much energy as possible. If you now execute them on your system, we then executed them on our system, measured the energy consumption using REPL, and then tried to estimate the energy consumption based on some third characteristic. For example, we used the instructions, the number of instructions that they executed, or we used CPU time. And as you can see in the graph, the estimation or the proportion that each application received, the proportion of the energy that each application received was actually completely different depending on the criteria that we used. And the worst part is even that both of them are incorrect. Our solution, eTeam, is actually able to do this. So eTeam can actually account energy for those two applications when they run in parallel. Another problem of REPL is its temporal granularity. The operating system can read the REPL values at any point in time, but unfortunately, the processor only updates them at a discrete interval. That means if we again have our application and run it in our system, to be able to measure its energy consumption, technically it would be enough to only read the REPL values at the beginning and at the end of the application. Unfortunately, it can happen that these reading of the wrapper values that not really correlate or that not really happen at the same time when the wrapper values are actually updated by the processor. That means that we are reading stale values and are basically incorrectly measuring the energy consumption. If the application runs for a long time, this is actually not a big deal because the wrapper values are updated basically or approximately every millisecond. However, if your application only runs for a short period of time, this is actually becoming a big problem, especially when you start using multiple applications and start and want to measure all of them and they are time multiplex on the processor, then you have to read the wrapper values every time you switch between applications. Those reading of the wrapper values probably will not align with the update, so you basically measure a lot of incorrect values. One might now think, well, this is probably not a big deal. Applications usually execute for a couple of milliseconds, and then they are switching to another, and then the schedule will switch to a different application. Unfortunately, not always. For example, if you have an application which has an execution pattern like this, so it executes for a couple of milliseconds, then stops, waits for some user input, and then executes again. If you want to measure the energy consumption of this application, you have to measure every short execution portion. However, since the application just executes for a very short period of time, most of the time your reading of the wrapper values will not align with the updates. And if you actually use such a technique, if you actually just naively read the wrapper values and measure such an application, you will get, for example, or we did actually do this, and we get a result, we measured approximately 5.7 joules for such an application. Unfortunately, the real energy consumption of this application was 6.3 joules, so you see there's already about a 10% error in these measurements. Our solution eTeam, again, is capable of measuring such applications. So I already told you what eTeam is capable of doing, but I've never actually said what eTeam is. So eTeam is actually a technique that we invented that allows per-application energy accounting based on socket local measurements. So we basically use the wrapper counters and then do some tricks to be able to count them to individual applications. And eTeam achieves this by using some specialized scheduling algorithm. The basic idea of eTeam that it no longer operates on application, but instead it introduces the concept of teams. Teams are a group of threads for which the user or the system administrator is interested in their combined energy consumption. So we are no longer interested in the energy consumption of individual threads, but only in the energy consumption of the whole team. Teams typically resemble or reshape applications, but it's also possible to split an application into multiple teams. If you're, for example, interested in the energy consumption of a particular part of your application, or it's also possible to combine multiple applications into one team if they're, for example, heavily interacting and you want to know their combined energy consumption. Since eTeam uses the wrapper counters to measure the energy of an application, it has to overcome the limitations of wrapper. So for example, it has to solve the spatial granularity, it has to kind of circumvent the spatial granularity of the wrapper counters. As you remember, wrapper only reports the energy consumption for the whole socket. Accordingly, eTeam only allows one team to execute on the socket at one point in time. It basically gives teams exclusive access to the socket. Since we are actually doing this, we can now just simply use the wrapper counters and account the energy that they report to the corresponding team because we know, well, only this team is currently executing on the socket. To be able to measure a second team in our system, eTeam has first to completely disable the currently running team and then switch to the second team. Thereby, again, the second team gets exclusive access to the socket, so we prevent everything else from running on the same socket, and we can just simply use the wrapper counters to account them to the corresponding team. The second problem that eTeam has to solve is the temporal granularity of the wrapper counters. As you remember, it is possible as an operating system to read the counters at any point in time, but the processor will only update them at some discrete interval. That means if eTeam wants to execute multiple teams and wants to time share the processor between them, if it would do this with a naive implementation and just simply switch from one team to another, it would actually again result in a very high error rate. Accordingly, eTeam doesn't doesn't just naively switch between teams, but instead it tries to align the execution of teams with the updates of the REPL counters so that every time we have to switch between a team, so we have to make a measurement, we are actually reading the latest values of the REPL counters. The technique that we use to achieve this is called short-time REPL and is a work of one of my colleagues that he already presented some at a different conference. To be able to implement the scheduling scheme, which provides the exclusive access for teams to sockets, we actually introduced a new scheduling class in the Linux kernel. Typically, the Linux kernel already has multiple schedulers that each manage different types of applications and also has different priorities. We introduced our new scheduler, the eTeam scheduler, with a higher priority than the default scheduler in the Linux kernel, the completely fair scheduler, also called CFS. In a normal system, normal applications are managed by the CFS scheduler. The CFS scheduler then distributes all the threads, all the threads of the applications that it manages to the individual cores, and then executes them in the cores according to its internal policy. If a user now wants to measure an application, it basically converts the application into a team, with the result that all the threads that belong to this team are removed from the CFS scheduler and are instead managed by the eTeam scheduler. This also means that there will be no, that those threads are no longer available to be scheduled on the cores. This ensures that they will never be executed in parallel to any other application, because we want to be able to measure them. Once the eTeam scheduler actually has a team that it can manage, it will take over the scheduling because it has a higher priority than the CFS scheduler and will basically remove all the threads that the CFS scheduler managed from the cores and instead will run its own threads there. Again, this is done to ensure that the team has exclusive access to the CPU socket. Once the eTeam scheduler has more than one team that it can manage, it will nonetheless, it will still only activate the threads of one team on the socket. That means in this situation, the threads of the second team, the purple one, will not be allowed, will not be activated, so will not be allowed to execute in parallel to the first team. This is again done to prevent, to give teams exclusive access to be able to use the REPL counters. To allow the second team to execute, eTeam nevertheless has to switch between teams. It achieves this by first deactivating the currently running team and then activating the next team that it wants to run on the system. And thereby again achieving the exclusive access to the socket. After I've now told you the basic concept of eTeam and the basic internals of eTeam, I'd like now to discuss a little bit how eTeam actually performs in real life. Therefore, we did an evaluation. We took a normal Intel Haswell machine with really a normal CPU. We disabled hyperthreading and Turbo Boost on this machine, not because eTeam is not able to work when those features are enabled, but because Turbo Boost and hyperthreading make energy and performance measurements unreliable, and thereby we disable them. And we took the NestPower benchmarks and some applications from the NestPower benchmarks and executed them with a different configuration of threads as our benchmarking applications. All the results that I'm now going to show you during the talk are actually relative differences to an execution of the same benchmark in a so-called stripped-down environment. What we did is we took the application and made sure that it only executes together with the kernel and no other application was running in the system, no system deeming, nothing. Only the application and the kernel. We used the stripped-down environment to actually build a ground truth for our measurements so that we have reliable energy and performance values of the application for the applications. The first experiment that we did for our evaluation was that we took the application, one of the benchmarking applications, and basically converted them into a team and then executed them in our system, but not in a stripped-down environment, but in a normal Linux environment. The things that we were interested in for this evaluation was the overhead that our eTeam scheduler introduces in the system and how accurate the energy measurements are. If you look at the overhead, you can see that we basically don't introduce any overhead into the the application basically execute at native speed. So for most of them, the CPU time overhead was below than 1%. So they basically executed, as I said, at native speed. If you look at the energy consumption, you can see that the energy that eTeam reports deviates from the baseline energy only by a very small percentage. So we, for most of the benchmarks, we had less than 1% deviation from our baseline energy, which is compared to other techniques, very accurate. As a second experiment, we again took our benchmark application and now added some background workload to the system. In this case, just a simple loop, just a simple busy loop that basically time-shared the processor, the socket with our measured application. And we were again interested in the energy and the performance overhead and the accuracy of our energy measurements. If you look at the performance overhead, we again see that there is basically that the application basically run at their native speed. So for most of them, the overhead, the CPU time overhead, was less than 1%. Only the UA benchmark had an overhead with 3 or 4 threads of more than 1%. If you look at the energy consumption, the reported energy consumption, we again see, similar to the first experiment, that the results are very accurate. So we are, for most of the benchmarks, we have less than 2% deviation from the baseline measurements. Only again, the UA benchmark has more than, in one case, more than 2% deviation from the baseline measurements. However, when we looked at these results, we recognized that, and you probably also recognized, that that eTeam reports for basically all of the benchmarks a lower energy consumption than what we measured during the baseline experiment. And there is, the question was now for us whether this is some error in our accounting technique or whether this is a problem with the REPL counters. To answer this question, we again did another measurement where we took our application, again, our benchmarking application, and added a second benchmarking application that we also measured, executed them in our system in a time-shared manner, and in addition, also measured the energy consumption using some external measurement tool. The results of this benchmark, I only show you a result from from a combination of two benchmarks because of time constraints. This is in this example, you can see the result of the FT benchmark being executed together with the IIS benchmark. As you can see, the energy that is reported by the eTeam is basically is very similar to what we measured with our external measurement infrastructure. For the FT benchmark, we had a we had an error of about 1%. For the IIS benchmark, we had an error of about 3%. Both of these cases show the worst case scenario for our implementation. So in general, one can say that eTeam is actually can actually provide very accurate energy measurements. However, eTeam also comes with a price, also has a price. One of the limitations that eTeam has is that it wastes resources. The problem is that we exclusively assign sockets to teams, and that means that if a team only has one thread, a lot of cores will not be used. And this is obviously a waste of resources. Another problem is that if you have IO-intensive applications that block very often after a very short execution time, they require, or eTeam requires to use the short-time REPL approach very often. And the reason for this is that we have to resynchronize, or that we have to wait for the REPL counter updates so that we can accurately measure this short execution the short executions of the IO-intensive application. And this introduces a quite significant overhead. Luckily, both of these limitations can be mitigated using random sampling. I will not talk about this during the talk, but we discussed this in the paper. So if you're interested, you can either ask me or just look into the paper. There we go into more detail about how to use random sampling and how it helps with these two limitations. To put everything in a nutshell, we think that eTeam is actually quite a promising tool. It provides accurate energy accounting for arbitrary groups of threads or applications. It doesn't require any additional equipment, any calibration, or any adaptation of your applications. You can just take our scheduler, take our kernel, boot it on your system, if it's an Intel system, and then run your application and measure it. It's very easy. We also provide a library and a command line tool that you can use to start and stop application, start and stop measurements for applications and get the latest energy consumption for them. And another nice part is that the basic concept of eTeam is not limited to the REPL counters, but can also be extended to other energy measurement techniques, for example, external measurements or the AMD power counters. But this is currently ongoing work. You can find our implementation at the provided URL very soon. We're going to upload it in a couple of minutes after my talk. And that basically concludes my talk, and I'm now happy to answer your questions.
Question?
Thank you for the presentation. I'm Fangming Liu from Hua Chung University of Science and Technology. One interesting question is about, I know you work with energy accounting about multiple costs. So how do you think about, is your method applicable to virtualization cases? I'm thinking about the use case of your method. Say in a cloud data center, there are multiple virtual machines rented by different tenants. You want to account their energy consumption. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So if virtualization technology is here, your energy accounting works well? You have tried that?
So if I understood you correctly, you were asking whether it can be used also in a cloud environment where you have virtual machines. Yeah. So actually, in our paper, we have exactly such a situation. We were measuring two virtual machines with our eTeam approach, and we could, for example, identify a malicious virtual machine that was wasting energy, and you can then use this information to, for example, slow down this virtual machine so that other virtual machines that behave correctly can get more CPU time, for example.
Sure, but the further question is that how do you, you know, the ground truth of virtual machine energy consumption. How do you measure the accuracy of your energy counting of virtual machine to the ground truth of the energy consumption of virtual machine?
We didn't actually measure a ground truth for the virtual machine. We showed with the benchmarks that that eTeam is able to correctly measure the energy consumption, and we now assume that it will also work for a virtual machine. But yeah, thank you.
Hello, Shai Bergman, Technion. Very nice talk. Just a quick question. Have you taken into consideration interrupt handling during your power measurements? Let's say, for example, you're random sampling and then there happen to be a lot of interrupts and just rise your power?
So that's actually a very good question. So if the kernel handles interrupts, that's something that it's not seen by the scheduler. So the kernel will basically preempt the kernel execution of the application, will do its work, and then continue the execution of the application. So that's nothing, that's unfortunately a problem that we cannot react on. Because we are scheduler-based, so we have to see some interactions with the scheduler, so we cannot really react on interrupts. But if the interrupt schedules or starts scheduling some other program, for example, to handle, or it basically starts another program, for example, to handle I/O or something like this, then we can actually react on this.
Thank you. And just a second part of the question. If you have an application which can run on, like, let's say, several NUMA nodes or several sockets, are you able to measure those application powers, the power measurement?
Yeah, another good question. So, yeah, basically we can. Our current implementation only supports one socket, but the basic concept that we propose is able to also spread to multiple sockets. So it's possible that the team can actually use multiple sockets. That's not a problem. It's just that our implementation currently doesn't support this. But we are currently working on extending our eTeam implementation to support one team spreading across multiple sockets. And you then basically just accumulate all the REPL counters and account them to one team.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.